that is true.
Now this evening, our study from Psalm 34, I've entitled the message for us, found in verse number 2, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord." My soul finds great delight rejoicing in the Lord, who is God Almighty, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation in Him. Truly now, we can say this is a desire, this is the desire of those who know Him, those who reverence Him, those who love Him, to make our boast in the Lord. All those who know Him in saving mercy, those who have been granted saving knowledge, those who have been given a revelation of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what He has done, they do find delight and they do rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. They love to declare salvation in Christ Jesus. Salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Purposed by Him, accomplished by Him, applied by Him, kept by Him. We love to boast of Christ. We can say with the Apostle Paul, "I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The only way God can show mercy to guilty sinners is through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The only way God can be just and holy and at the same time merciful and in showing and exercising loving kindness unto His people is to have our sin fully dealt with in our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our desire and our preaching is to brag on Christ. To brag on Christ. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. This book has one message. All this book, this Bible we have, that we carry, that we read, has but one message. To Him give all the prophets witness. This Bible had but one central theme. It's all about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, His glory, His redeeming mercy. And our desire in preaching is to brag on Christ. Our desire in our worship is to give glory due unto His matchless name. That is our desire in worship, in preaching, to find our delight in Christ alone. Back in Psalm 29, verse 1, it says, "Give unto the Lord, ye mighty sons of God, give unto the Lord glory and strength." That is, worship Him. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness in Christ Jesus. Again in Psalm 33, it talks about worship. "Rejoice in the Lord, all ye righteous." For praise is proper, worship is proper, comely for the upright. It's right to worship Him. Our God says so. The Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I know this, there is no spiritual worship apart from the truth of God's gospel being declared. The truth of who God is, the truth of who we are. God is holy. We're just the opposite. We're sinful. The truth of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Who is He? Is He just some historical character we find in the pages of history? He is, my friend, God Almighty, manifest in the flesh. And it's who He is that gives power, weight, and glory to all that He has done for us. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That's our desire, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Tell the truth of salvation, the truth of who God is, the truth of who we are, the truth of what Christ accomplished. Did He come just to make salvation a possibility? As some folks say. They say, well, He came to make salvation a possibility for all men if they would exercise and meet certain conditions. Well, that's not grace. That's merit. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to make salvation a possibility. the Lord Jesus Christ came and accomplished salvation for His covenant people. And the message of Scripture is, He didn't fail. He's victorious. He's enthroned. He's exalted. He's seated. And He's coming again to receive unto Him what He bought. He bought the church with His own blood. He's going to have what He bought, His own people. God purchased the church with His own blood. You see, you can't brag on Christ too much. You can't preach Him too high, too holy, too exalted. Can't do it. Can't do it. Now let's look at verse 1 for a moment. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. His praise, glorying in Him, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, I will bless the Lord. Here's a firm, fixed resolve of every believer. I will and I shall. I will and I shall bless the Lord, worship Him, and praise Him. The Lord has by right and decree a monopoly on our praise and worship. And He is deserving of such. For all that we are, He made us. We can say with the Apostle Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. All that we have, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. All that we have is gift of His hand. All that we know is by His sovereign revelation. You know, it takes God to reveal God. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. You see, everything we are, He made us. Everything we have, He gave us. Everything we know, He taught us. It's all by His sovereign grace. For we read in Scripture, for who has made us to differ from another? What do we have that we didn't receive as a free gift of God? Now, if you received it as a free gift of God, why would you boast in anything but in Christ alone? You see, He's deserving of all worship and honor, isn't He? We read in the Revelation that the Lamb of God, you ever notice all through the Revelation, He is pictured in His sacrificial character as the Lamb of God. The Revelation's all about a revelation of the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. And it says in Revelation 5 that this Lamb of God, who redeemed us with His own blood, is worthy and deserving of all honor and glory. The song of the eternal ages is, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, blessing, glory, and power, both now and forever. God's people learn that song here as they're redeemed by His grace. And there is a continuing glorious song throughout the ages unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. I will bless the Lord at all times. Oh, He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our devotion. He's worthy of our commitment and total sellout to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice this. When are we to bless the Lord and worship Him? It says here, at all times. At all times. At all times. Before the trial come. And trials are coming. We either find ourselves heading for a trial or going through a trial, or we find ourselves on the other side of the trial. But trials are common to God's people, are they not? Peter talks about that. Consider not the fiery trials that God sends our way as a strange thing. Trials are coming. Our Lord said, in this world you shall have tribulation. God's people are those who have been through much heartache, much sorrow in this life. Now, He said, bless the Lord at all times. All times. Now, I want you to find the little book of Habakkuk. It's not hard to find. It's 4 or 5 books backward from the book of Matthew. Malachi, Zechariah. I want you to find this and mark this in your Bible. Haggai, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, chapter 3. This is a prayer. There's three chapters in this little book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk said, "The just shall live by faith." But in chapter 3, verse 17, "Now I said, bless the Lord," the scripture says, "at all times." At all times. Trust Him at all times. Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17. Now look at this carefully. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom," and here's some trials that are coming, "neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall." Here's a famine. No meat, no fruit, cut off. "Yet, at all times, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief singer upon my stringed instruments. I will rejoice in the Lord." In the midst of heartache, in the midst of trial, where do you find comfort? Only in the Lord. Only as we find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the second part of verse 2 in Psalm 34, "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Be in my mouth. Let me show you another psalm here that I think will help us maybe here to understand what he's saying. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And the reason that praise and glorying in the Lord is found in the mouth of a believer is because it comes from the well of the heart. For I've often said that which is found in the well of the heart comes out to the bucket of the mouth. And that's true. In the well of the heart is evil, our Lord said, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, fornication, blasphemies, all these things. But I tell you, when the heart is made new in Christ Jesus, when He's given us a new heart in regenerating grace, I tell you what flows out of that new heart. Praise unto the Lord. We say with David here in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." How does He forgive our iniquities? He bare our sin in His own body on the tree. He healeth all our diseases, being made our substitute, taking the diseases of our sin into Himself, and with His stripes we are healed, Isaiah 53. "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things." So we speak forth good things. "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles, flying high, praising unto the Lord." The new heart given in regeneration always speaks. Now, this is always true. The new heart given in regenerating grace, being born from again, always speak high and holy things of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said in John 12, when Isaiah saw Him, he spake of His glory. You remember what Job said? I think it's the last chapter of the book of Job. Job said, "I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye, I see you, wherefore I abhor and I hate myself." That new heart given in Christ Jesus, "as any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." The new heart given in regeneration always causes the believer to speak high and holy things of Christ and low and abasing thoughts of self. we say with the Apostle Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Oh, I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually found in my mouth, for it flows out of that new heart given by God's sovereign mercy in Christ." Therefore, verse 2, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, all that He has done for us." The humble, those who are humbled by His grace, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad, and be glad. We have only one foundation on which we are to boast, upon which we are to rejoice. We are the true Israel of God, as Paul writes to the Philippians, which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have zero confidence in the flesh. My soul shall make her boast. My soul shall find confidence in the Lord upon that one foundation that God has laid, only in Christ and Christ alone. So we glory only in Him. Now if you find Jeremiah 9, Jeremiah chapter 9, and Paul uses a portion of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, "But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that would glory, let him glory only in the Lord." And it comes from Jeremiah 9, verse 23. If you notice the marginal reference there, it has 1 Corinthians 1, 31. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But he that glorieth, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and that he knows me, who I am. That I am the Lord. I am God, beside me there is no other, the only just God and Savior," Isaiah 45. "That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. He has loved His own with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness does He draw us to Himself." Aren't you glad that the Lord exercises loving kindness? That He demonstrates loving kindness? Where do we see the loving kindness of God demonstrated? Christ crucified. "Here in His love," John said, "not that we love God, but that He loved us, and that He sent His Son to be the sacrifice, the propitiation, the atoning victim for our sin. That I am the Lord. Oh, I exercise loving kindness. I exercise judgment. I am the Lord," He says, "I will do right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Whatever He does is right. Judgment. I exercise judgment. I exercise mercy. I exercise righteousness. I, the Lord, I exercise righteousness. He gives out His salvation in an absolute righteous manner. And He does this in the earth. "For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Saith the Lord. Those who are humbled. Now look what it says back in verse 2 of Psalm 34. "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble, those who are humbled by His grace, shall hear thereof." Oh, and I tell you, they're glad. They're glad. Those humbled by His grace, or we can say it this way, those who are saved by His grace, are most happy and glad to hear about the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving mercy, His saving grace in Christ. Now, I've never heard, maybe you have, I haven't. I've never heard a believer complain about a sermon that gave too much honor and glory to the Lord. Have you? or that sermon that has abased the flesh for what it is, sin. Sin. We're bringing a message today from Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul reminds those from Ephesus what they were in time past, uncircumcised. He said, flesh, ungodly flesh, without Christ, without God, without hope in this world. That's what we are, in the flesh. Flesh. You can't abase the flesh too much, nor can you exalt the Lord Jesus Christ too high. I'm always most glad to hear about Him, for God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him." Would you hear Him? Oh, God, give us ears to hear Him. Our Lord said, blessed are your ears, for they hear, your eyes, for they see. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Look over at Psalm 32, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord, ye righteous, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye who are upright in heart, made new in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 3. Psalm 34, verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord. And let's do it together. Magnify the Lord with me. Let's worship Him together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name. His name. For there's no other name. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let us exalt His name. God has given Him a name which is above every name. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And let everyone bow and acknowledge that He is Lord. Now this is our desire when we come together as believers. Let's exalt His name together. Let's do it together. Let us meet together in His name. He said where two or three are met together in my name, I'm with you. I'm among you. Let us magnify the Lord together. Let us worship the Lord together. Let us encourage one another to worship and praise Him. Let us do this by His grace. Turn back to Psalm 29, verse 9. Psalm 29, verse 9. Let us encourage one another and worship Him. Let us exalt His name together. Psalm 29, verse 9. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forest in His temple, and discovereth the forest, and in His temple doth everyone speak of His glory. Amen. That's what we speak about, His glory. Not ours. Not what we've done, not what I'm going to do. We speak about His glory. Psalm 26, verse 8. Turn back over there. Psalm 26, verse 8. Love beareth all things, the scripture said. Psalm 26, verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thine house, thy house, the place where your honor dwells. The place where your honor dwells. Thank God that the Lord has blessed us to meet together from time to time in the place that He has given unto us. And our desire is that His glory dwells there. That is, in the preaching of the gospel. In the preaching of the gospel of God's grace. Now, this is one reason we're commanded to meet together and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but to gather together publicly in His name, to have a public witness among people, and to publicly preach the gospel, and to publicly worship the Lord. Psalm 122 declares, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why did we come here? Why were you here this evening? You didn't come here just to hear me, did you? I hope you didn't. Stay home. You won't get a blessing if you just came to hear me. But I trust you came to hear what God says through His servant. And that'll bless His people. It'll bless his people. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, let us exalt his name together. Let us do it together.
Amen.
Together. Oh, make one together, together in Christ. Now look at verse 4 down to verse 7. David relates unto us his experience of grace in verses 4 down through 7. Remember, David is at a low point in his life, exiled from Jerusalem, a sworn enemy of the king of Israel at that time. And here's what he does. God help us to follow his example. Look at verse 4. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. And he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. He seeks mercy. He seeks relief in whom it's found. In Christ Jesus. Now here's the exhortation of Scripture. If you find Hebrews 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, verse 16. He seeks mercy where it's found. I sought the Lord and he heard me and then he delivered me from all my fears. In Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession and let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. David said, I sought the Lord. How do we seek the Lord? Well, we seek the Lord in his word. When I read the scripture, I'm seeking the Lord. I want to know more about him. This book is all about him. I seek the Lord in his word. I seek the Lord by prayer. When I cry unto the Lord, Lord, have mercy upon me, the sinner. And we seek the Lord by faith. For the just shall live by faith. As it says over here in verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. You're in trouble? Don't call me. I'm in trouble too. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them. I sought the Lord by prayer, in the word, and by faith. Turn over here to Psalm 30, verse 2. Psalm 30, verse 2. They're having a good time in there tonight, aren't they? Oh, Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Oh, Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. I cried unto the Lord, and thou hast healed me. Oh, I tell you, I'm going to cry unto the Lord. Turn over to Psalm 145, look at verse 18. Psalm 145, verse 18. Psalm 145, verse 18. Calling upon the name of the Lord and crying unto him. Now look at this promise here. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. In Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon him. And David said here in the text, he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now here's another psalm. He redeemed me. Psalm 130, turn there. Psalm 130. Psalm 130. I cried unto the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me. Out of the depths, Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait. In his word do I hope. For with the Lord there is mercy, verse 7, and with him is plenteous redemption. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Now look back to the text again. They looked unto him. Now who's he talking about here? They looked unto him and were helped. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed to look unto the Lord. They looked. Now, who's he referring to here? Well, I tell you what I think, and others as well have made this comment. He's talking here about those who preceded David, believers like Abraham, Noah, Moses, others. They looked unto him and were helped. They looked unto him and were blessed. David's case was not peculiar. Others have looked to the Lord in time of trouble and were delivered. Others have, and others will. Why don't you look? Look unto the Lord. You know, look is such a... Look. Simple word. Simple word. Two letters are just the same. L-O-O-K. Look. Is that four letters? Look. Look unto him. Our God said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God. They looked. You see what it says there? They looked unto him. They were helped. Oh God, give us grace to look to him. Look to him. Enoch walked with God and was not ashamed. And one day he walked right into glory. Abel was not ashamed. Brought that blood sacrifice unto the Lord. God testifying that he was a righteous man, that is, righteous in Christ by that blood sacrifice. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was not ashamed. 120 years, one message, in the ark, salvation, in the ark, get in the ark. All those who did were saved from the flood. Noah looked, Enoch looked, Abel looked. Why don't you look? Why don't I look to the Lord? They looked. Oh, God, give us grace to look to him. Abraham looked. Abraham, our Lord said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Moses looked. Moses wrote of me, our Lord said. You'd go on and on and on, couldn't you? Job looked. Isaiah looked. They all looked to the Lord for salvation, and were helped in their time of need. Paul looked. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They looked. Paul looked. Others have looked and were lightened. They were enlightened by the look of faith, looking to Christ, and they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. Even so much so that those old timers who were burned to the stake, all they had to do was just recant. All they had to do was just deny the gospel, and the fires would have been extinguished. But no, as one dear believer said, I didn't come here this day. They begged the person to recant with her children standing there, her husband, just recant, and you go home with your family. And she was heard to say, I didn't come here this day to deny my Lord. I want that kind of look, don't you? Looking to him. They looked. They looked. And they were blessed. Their faces were not ashamed. Paul said in that scripture that I love to quote so much, it's God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. And then he says down in verse 12, when he talks about Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel, for it's God who saved us. Don't be ashamed of God's truth. Don't be ashamed of God's word. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that all that he has given to me, all that I've committed unto him, for the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We're not ashamed. Not ashamed. Paul, why aren't you ashamed? I've looked. And you know what this is really? For us as believers, it's looking.
is looking. We have, we are, and we will. And one day we'll see Him with perfect sight, face to face, in all His glory. They looked unto Him, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all their troubles. I am poor and needy, David says often. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Turn over here just a few pages to Psalm 40, verse 7. Psalm 40, verse 7. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help, my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him. This poor sinner cried. This poor sinner cried. And the Lord heard me and saved me from all my sin. Every believer has this same experience in their heart. They cry unto the Lord, and He shows mercy to those who call upon Him. Now, the Word declares, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm not one that has a problem with that word, whosoever. John 3:16, whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Whosoever does what? Believes Him, whoever it is. That's a man who's been an object of God's mercy, a man who has been saved by His sovereign grace. That's the whosoever. Believeth, whosoever calleth, we call upon Him because He called upon us. That whosoever is a glorious word. It includes this sinner. It includes all those who believe and call upon Him. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for us. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong. I've never read one example in Scripture where God in Christ has turned away a genuine, sincere mercy beggar. Every elect sinner that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He crossed the path of that elect sinner, He saved them. Everyone. He's never turned a mercy beggar away. I've never read of it. Never. One time. The Lord had some harsh words to those old self-righteous Pharisees, but everyone that came to Him, taking their place before the as a sinner before His sovereign throne, begging for mercy like that publican, God have mercy on me, the sinner. The Lord had mercy on that sinner and intended to from all eternity. And just in time crossed their path and demonstrated that mercy, and they experienced that in their heart. Well, I've got too much here. The angel of the Lord, verse 7, encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. Oh, my friend, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You will only know this really and personally by experience, for we really don't believe anything till we've experienced it in our heart. Now, the example that's given here is a beautiful table set with delicious food. You can hear of others talk about how good the food tastes, but until you partake of it yourself, you really won't know and experience that grace of God in your heart. Even so, you can hear others talk about how good the Lord is, but until you taste and see that the Lord is gracious yourself, that He is merciful, you won't have that experience of grace in your heart. So taste and see. Look, taste. The angel of the Lord camps around about them that fear Him. There's a lot right there in that verse, and I intended to show you some things from that verse, but my time is gone. I don't want to wear
your patience thin. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. Ye his saints. Every believer is a saint. Every believer is a saint in Christ. For there is no want. There is no want to them that fear the Lord. There is no want. You see, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Oh, fear the Lord. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means to believe him. Those who believe him fear the Lord. Ye his saints, sanctified in Christ, for there is no want to them that fear him. In the Lord Jesus Christ was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete, complete, complete in Christ. Completely justified, completely sanctified, completely made righteous in Christ, accepted in the Beloved, in him.